continue on a little bit from last couple weeks, and these are kind of not a real tight series as far as everything, but the subject is similar, and we're going to be in Leviticus tonight. Talked last week about Ezra. Remember Ezra's prayer and how that he was so burdened because the priests and the Levites not sanctify themselves, and everybody mingled, and it broke his heart. And then there was hope because they fell down weeping and prayed. And so going from that, I want to talk about sanctify for a great work. Sanctified for a great work. Leviticus chapter 20. And so we saw on the 4th of July that, you know, God needs, God made America a certain way, and nations are made a certain way, and we are supposed to be a good people and a godly people on our own without being forced to be. Leviticus chapter 20, and then we went to last week in Ezra, and how that God broke his heart, and he had a broken heart for his nation. And this week we'll talk about sanctified for a great work, probably why Ezra was so upset, why he pulled out his hair. He was so upset when he realized that even the spiritual leaders were not sanctified, and that people had mingled themselves and with the ungodly and such. That he was concerned about that. Leviticus chapter 20, and I'm going to start at verse 1. And again, these messages are, PhD level spirituality messages. They're not for shallow Christians, but we're the midweek people, and so you're pretty spiritual, and you understand that there is something not to burden you down with heavy responsibility, but you're the ones who are going to have to really get it. And if we, the midweek at a church like ours, aren't the people who are going to get it in America, then nobody's going to get it. And so these are demanding, but they're important. And Leviticus chapter 20, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying again, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourneth in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death, and the children of the land shall stone him with stones. Molech was a demon, a false idol, but it was probably a demon. And Molech was always about killing babies, killing children. And they were usually burned to death, and the children. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from that man, when he giveth of his seed to Molech to kill and kill him not, then will I set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And that the soul that turneth away after such as have familiar spirits, that's people who are dealing with demons, and after wizards. Maybe you shouldn't let your kids read Harry Potter. Maybe. All that go whoring after him to commit whoredom. Well, no, he's a good guy in the movie. Yeah, the devil makes he makes the bad guys good guys. You don't know that. He doesn't make all the people wear red suits and pokey tails and pitchforks. And of course, it's the confusion. Going to horn after them, even I will set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about sanctify for a great work. Father, we pray for power now, Father. We need your wisdom. We need your love. We need your grace and your power. We need strength and courage to rightly divide the word of truth, to believe it and stand for it, though we might not like it, might not agree with it, might not fit our lives, Father. We need to love you enough and love truth enough and love others enough to sanctify ourselves. And I pray that thy hand will be good upon this message and bless it, sanctify it, make it meet for the master's use. Help us to see your way and think your way. And young people, Lord, are out there, and we got little babies and in this room, and people who are up in years, Father, and I pray that you would help every one of them to remember these truths and not go away and forget them when they get 13 or 30 or 90, Father, but truths that affect our minds and our lives so we can be affected for eternity for you. Please, Lord, speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, sanctify, the word sanctify is a Hebrew word, kadash. It means to be or make clean, to appoint something as holy and clean. And so we get done. Sometimes you take out your dishes at the dishwasher and something was wrong and didn't get washed, and you say, this needs washed again. But sometimes it looks clean and you put it away. And you make it something clean. You make it sanctify. It means you're going to make that thing a clean thing, an appointed and holy thing, and say, this thing's now holy. Remember God in Leviticus here, he's showing us, and we had a whole message on this about fearing God. God in the Old Testament shows his feeling towards sin, his anger, his seriousness about it, how one sin is too much, the wages of sin is death. And he makes us so we'll forever realize that, as he said, that sin might appear exceedingly sinful. So you look at the Old Testament, you'll understand how God feels about sin. You look at the New Testament, you'll see how much God loves us, because in spite of that sin that he hates so much, he still loved us. And so God is showing that certainly in this passage and talking about sanctifying the nation and getting rid of the bad things. Just a few thoughts real quick that I want to focus on is, number one, we are to sanctify ourselves. Verse 7, sanctify yourselves, therefore. We are to sanctify ourselves. Number two, we are to do this because he is holy. We are to do this because he is holy. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, verse 7, and be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. He's going to say, I'm holy in the New Testament. In 1 Peter and other spots, he's going to say, be holy, for I am holy. God says it's a match. It's a match. You ever put on clean, light-colored clothes and went somewhere dirty? And it reaches out and grabs you? It jumps at you. And you're trying to stay clean. So, you know, when you're all clean and dressed nice, and the dog wants to jump on you and rub its dirty paws on you, it drives you crazy. When you're dirty, okay, doggy can jump on you because you're not clean. Doesn't matter. Well, the Lord is sinless. And he says, be holy, for I am holy. You ever had a dirty person want to get in your car? And your car is just the first time you cleaned it in 3 years? And now they want to get in your car. They want to haul something. I'm the worst. I haul everything in my car. I have to get into nice clothes. The Lord says, I am holy. I am holy. So you be holy. Can two walk together except they be agreed? God says, I am clean. Quit jumping on me with your dirty paws. And be holy, for I am holy. So, one, we are to sanctify ourselves. Two, we are to do this because he is holy. Three, the Lord sanctifies us. He says, verse 7, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. I am the Lord which sanctify you. So, it says in one verse, sanctify yourselves, then next verse later, it says, I am the Lord, it sanctifies you. Now, there's a whole message. I won't take the time to go into all of it. But there's two types of sanctification in the Bible. There is positional sanctification, and there's personal sanctification. Positional sanctification is you get saved, and you've been washed from your sin because Jesus' blood washed away your sin. But that does not mean you have personal sanctification. The day I got saved, my sins are washed away. My heaven began to get my mansion began to get formed in heaven, and I was sanctified in God's sight, born again. But let me tell you, I was not sanctified. I had lots of sins, and sanctification is a personal sanctification is a process that'll last the rest of your life. In most cases, you got some work to do. Anybody here doesn't have any more work to do? You're all done with the sanctification. You got it all finished. Okay. But in God's sight, if you've been born again, you're positionally sanctified. You're saved. Now, Israel was told, Nathan, will you close that door right there? right there. Just shove that door closed. Thanks, buddy. I'm afraid there's a monster in there. When you're saved, you get this positional sanctification. When you begin this process of sanctification that way, when they were born part of the Hebrew race, they were God's people and set aside for himself. And God blessed the Jews, and God worked with them and spoke to them and led them and rained manna to the Jews. But they're also told to have personal sanctification. And we'll read stories about when some of them didn't and what happened to them because they didn't have personal sanctification. And it's all over the Bible, and there's verses all over that we could look up. Let me just take you to one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just about personal sanctification. Thank God we're saved and positionally sanctified. Romans 8 says he sanctified us, justified us, and glorified us. The whole process is done. And that's great. But that does not mean that we are sinless here on earth, and we've got to sanctify ourselves. And that means clean ourselves up. And there's a lot of Bible methods. We're not teaching that tonight. Did I say 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? So here's some sanctification biblically. For this is the will of God, even your, this is 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should, and by the way, don't think you can live sexually immoral and be sanctified, and God bless that. But if we love each other. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, you should abstain from fornication, sexual sin. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, let your body, in sanctification and honor. Not with the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. That no man would go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. You're not sanctified if you're being a ripoff, you're ripping people off. If you're defrauding your brother in any manner. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, and we have also forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So, that is your personal sanctification, that you're supposed to do that. Why? Because the Lord is holy. So, I go, and when we went to visit Lisa out at the hospital, she was in critical care, ICU, And so I go outside. Every time I go to hospital room, I'm just so used to it. They got these little foam things you put your hand under and get the little stuff, and you wash your hands before you go in. But she was in the more intensive care, so I had to also put on the little coat. Little coat goes this direction. And put on the gloves? Yes. And have a hat or no? No. Okay, gloves and the hand thing. Travis, you have to do that stuff sometimes probably. Why? Because you're going into somebody who's in critical care. You don't want to get any germs in there. And you need to be clean before you go in there because of who you're going with. Because who you're going to be with. Because they need you to be that way. In the most critical cases I've been in, for example, I went in an ICU unit with a baby who was just in real trouble. And they had a nurse in the room constantly with the baby. And I had to put on a mask and hair, a thing over my hair and over my head. And then the whole thing, I mean, the smocks on the feet, everything. Why? Because of how intensely sick this baby was. And so because of their condition, I had to be clean. Now, can you imagine someone walking in there, just got off work, and they work at a biological plant where they work with germs and they dig in the sewers, and then they walk in there and they want to just walk in the room. No, you can't come in here that way. They won't let you in. And so God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And so there's a fellowship there. God is merciful and God is kind, and the Bible says God condescends the men of low estate and all those things. I understand that. But to do a great work, for God to come draw near and do a mighty work, he says, "You really want me to do a mighty work, you need to be sanctified. And you need to be pronounced clean and do that." And we need that personal sanctification. The Lord asks for sanctification, and this is the whole message I want you to understand, an important truth in life, if you'd remember your whole life. The Lord asks for sanctification before he comes to do a great work. The Lord asks for sanctification before he comes to do a great work. Why don't you say that with me? Ready? The Lord asks for sanctification before he comes to do a great work. Let's look at Exodus. So the Lord, before he's going to do a great work, and we find this many times throughout the Bible, God says, sanctify yourselves. Remember, they're getting ready for the temple. Ezra says, all right, let's get sanctified, and let's go out and build the temple and give all these things to God and sanctify the vessels. And they say, nobody's here sanctified. We're mixed and unholy and messed up. And God, Ezra says, oh no, we're in trouble. We need God to come and consecrate this temple and sanctify it. And it's not sanctified. And remember, every vessel had to be sanctified for the Lord. Exodus 32. And Exodus 32 and 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Everyone, you consecrate yourself, clean yourselves, dedicate yourselves, sanctify yourselves. Why? That God may bestow a blessing upon you this day. Let's go back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. The Lord asks for sanctification before he comes to do a great work. Exodus 19 and verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto him, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak unto thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them for today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And so God says here, he says, hey, prepare yourself because I'm coming tomorrow and I'm going to do a great mighty work. What was a great mighty work? He was going to come and ascend upon that mountain and write the Ten Commandments with the finger of God. And verse 15, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wife. And it came to pass third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud in the mount and the trumpets and all these things. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And Mount Sinai was altogether in smoke because the Lord descended upon it with fire and smoke and ascended as smoke in a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And Moses spoke and God spoke to him. See, he says, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves and be ready. Verse 10 and 11. Sanctify yourselves and be ready because I'm going to do a great work. Now let's go to Joshua. Joshua. Chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And he's going to give instructions about the Ark of the Covenant and going to get ready to cross the Jordan. Verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits measure. Come ye not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. There it is again. God's getting ready to do something big tomorrow, so sanctify yourselves. Prepare yourself, because God is coming, and he's going to meet with us and do something mighty. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. And then he does a miracle, verse 15 and through 17. Verse 17, the priest that stood, that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan until all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until they were passed clean over Jordan. So they stepped in, when they stepped in the water, the river stood up and they walked across on dry ground across the River Jordan when it was swelling and going fast. And so why? He says, God's going to do a great work, so sanctify yourselves. Then you're going to go fight Jericho. So they had to sanctify themselves because God was getting ready to do a great work. Now I want to say this. Sometimes God, to do a great work, he prunes when it's a vital time and he does the sanctifying. He does the sanctifying. Let's go back to Leviticus again. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And God, again, this is a critical time. They're setting up the priesthood. They are setting up the Israel underneath God, and they're getting ready to be going and have the priests ready and their clothing and everything. And a couple of them get out of line here. Verse 1, and these happened to Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire there and put incense thereon and offered strange fire, not the way God said, before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out from a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. You hear that? He says, these are the ones that are coming into my presence. These are the priests. These are the sons of Aaron. I will be sanctified in them. I'm not going to let these people who just make their own fire, not the way I said to, not the incense I said, and light their own fire just the way they want to when I give them instructions. And I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me before all the people. I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. God said, I took care of it. I sanctified this situation. We told a story last week about how God sanctified another situation in a church. Anybody remember that story last week? What was that story? Anybody? Can't remember the name. There you go. Ananias and Sapphira died in church. Did the church kill them? No. God sanctified it. So, and that was a critical time in the church right there. They were getting ready to leave Jerusalem and begin to spread out into the whole world. I want to say this. There's a time when God starts pruning the branches. There's a time in your life when God says, I need something done and you're not doing some sanctifying. Let me cut some things off. As a matter of fact, he doesn't say that. He says, I'm going to cut some things off. I believe in every church. When God's getting ready to work in a church, always been our case, before God gets ready to do a great work, the church begins to lose people. It just does. We don't push people away. They just leave. Now, I'm not saying that Ananias and Sapphira, they might just be moving to Pocatillo. I don't know. But God does a work. And I've always found out that the people who are playing games, they always leave before God's getting ready to work. Now, they leave for 1,000 different reasons, but they leave. And God, when he wants to do a work, and you'll find, when God's getting ready to work in your life, you will find things being lopped out of your life. I was so important to me. Why did that have to be taken away? Why can't I have this? Where did that go? I had my best friend, and now they're moving. I mean, you will just have things, and these things are things that are hindering you. And you're not sanctifying yourself. But God, in his mercy, because he needs something done, because you've been saying, God, please change my life and do this thing. Lord, please use me. Or Lord, save these family members. God says, all right, but in order to do that, I'm going to have to do some sanctifying of myself. And so God cuts things off. God changes things. God removes Nadab and Abihu. God removes Ananias and Sapphira. God goes in and changes some things. God takes things out of your life. And I believe that God does the job of sanctifying sometimes. That's what the Bible, and one of these reasons when God's getting ready to do a work, you want to be sanctified so God can dwell with you and come. That's the way we see here. The Lord says, all right, I'm coming. I'm going to come do a mighty work. So sanctify yourself so I can come down with you and dwell with you and do this work I want to do. I don't want to say, when I'm coming down there to bless and do mighty works, I need clean vessels to drink out of. I need clean vessels to drink out of. I need these things right. Interesting verse on this in the New Testament. For example, soul winning. When you want to go witnessing, the Bible says sanctify yourself to be a good soul winner. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready. I think those things go together, and always be sanctified, always be clean, always be ready for God to do a great work. Usually in the history of revival, before there's a great revival, most of the time when there's careful records kept of revival, not all revivals are careful records kept, but if you look at the history of revival, you'll usually find the group that it started with. And this group will be sanctified beforehand. Now, many times, unfortunately, it's through persecution. That's a great way to get sanctified, by the way. Fire brings purification always in the Bible. And if you want sanctification, many times the heat will get turned up in your life and all the unimportant things burn away. And many times these people will be persecuted and hated, and then God will do a great work through them. They're oftentimes the outcasts of a religious society where the religion is not good, or a secular society, and they're persecuted and hurt, and then they somehow are kept alive but are so purified that God comes and works through them. Sometimes, as a group of people, because what happens is God puts a knowledge in your heart. See, many times you want God to work, and I'm talking right now. All I'm talking about right now is someone who wants God to do something. If you're just content with living, eating, and drinking, then this message is not, I'm not talking to you right now. That's a different message. That's get a fire in your heart for God. But those who really want to see God work understand what usually happens when you're really ready for God to work is God begins to put something in your heart, and you begin to get something burning in your heart so strong that you start seeing that some things have to change in you. You may be praying for revival in America, or for all your family to be saved, or for your church to have revival, or for your city to be transformed, or for Christianity to catch on, or something. Whatever it is, but what happens to that person who gets the fire and the burden, and it might be for their own people, and for a thousand different things, these things come. But what happens is God starts saying, okay, but I got to do some things in you first. And that's not fun. And you say, I was talking about them. And God says, I know, I'm talking about them too. But in order to get to them, I got to have a vessel of sanctification. I got to pour my spirit in fullness into some cup. And I got to get you to be the cup I want. You're the vessel I've chosen. That's why your heart is broken for this. And so some things have got to change in you, and you've got to get sanctified. And so that person begins to get very intense in their spiritual life, and things begin to burn away, and things get taken away. And hopefully, if they can handle the heat, they eventually get sanctified. Not perfect, certainly, but they're sanctified. And then they're meat for the master's use. And then all of a sudden, God flows into them, and the revival begins with them or a group of five or one church of 100, but just a small group would get sanctified. And it's kind of like, here's this whole area that needs revival, but God just said, I just need to pour into one vessel, and my splashes will get everybody else. But that vessel has got to be something I got to pour into. And so what happens, that group becomes, or that person or whatever it is, that family becomes very passionate about holiness and very passionate about the things of God, and gets a great heart to see mighty things done from God. And it becomes so important to them that their life changes. They get a cause. And then God uses them to change everybody else. The problem is the period in between where they're getting sanctified because they're becoming what God wants, which is a real sanctified Christian, which is so rare it looks weird. And everybody criticizes them. Watch the history of the revival starters. All the religious people hated them. Until the revival poured out in their congregations, and they say, yeah, you know what, I liked them the whole time. I was just acting like I didn't like them. That's what happens. And that's why in Christianity, I believe today, in our day, most of Christianity is going to think we're a little overboard. I should hope so. Have you seen what's on Christian television? Have you seen what Christians are doing? Have you listened to Christians, their immorality and justifications today? You know how many Christians? Virtually all Christians watch TV more than they read their Bible. I guarantee you it's not over 1% that read the Bible more than they watch TV every day. Of course we should stand out. Sanctification comes to few people who get such a burden, such a heart, and such a care. Follow the history of the Wesleyan revivals and the Methodists being started. They had a group at Oxford, and it was John Wesley, Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, and a few others, about five guys. Those guys, you know what they called them? The Holy Club, as a mockery. By the way, a huge percentage of people at that college were going to college for the ministry. And they called those people the Holy Club. Now, they didn't know what they're doing. They were ignorant. They had no idea what they're doing. They were around bad, dead Christianity. But they said, we have got to. And they got overboard in the wrong area sometimes. But they knew, and they did a lot of things right too, but they knew they needed to change some things and become holy and godly and purified. And guess what? Those guys changed the world, literally. They literally changed America and changed Europe. And they started sending out missionaries from there, from that movement. Because these people who began to get sanctified, and no doubt the Wesleys and Whitfield will sing their songs. They will sing the songs that Charles wrote and have an impact. Every time you drive by a Methodist church, although they aren't much anymore, unfortunately, used to be great churches. Now they're so far away from the Bible, it's in a different dispensation. But there's a few left. But those Methodist churches used to be good churches until recently. And why? Because some people got sanctified. And by the way, there's still some good ones in the foreign field. In America, they're drifted away. I want to say this. That's what happens when people get sanctified. That's what happens, is they become different because they want God to bless them and God to use them. Who's God going to dwell with? Let's look at Psalm 15. Last passages, I'll tell you a quick story and we'll be done. Psalm 15. So you got to sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself because tomorrow I'm going to do a great work with you. Sanctify yourselves because God's going to do a mighty work with us. Sanctify yourselves. Psalm 15. It just says who's God's going to dwell with. Verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? There's a question. Who's going to dwell and abide in God's presence? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He sweareth to his own hurt, and changeth not. So I like that verse. Keep your word. He putteth not out the money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. God says, sanctified people is who I dwell with. It's who I use. Get ready. I'm going to sanctify yourselves. Now, I want to say this. I take it back. One more verse we didn't do. Judges. I'm Joshua. Let's do Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. They go out. They fight Ai. They get defeated. Little tiny country. Little tiny city. They've defeated a great, mighty, powerful city. No problem. They fight a little dinky, tiny podunk town, and they get defeated in it. And they go and say, God, how can you do this to us? Oh, God, why did this bad thing happen to us? Like so many people do in their sin. And verse 9, the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round about and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Why do you lie upon your face? Israel has sinned. They have also trespassed my covenants and I commanded them, for they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you, up sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. After they sanctify themselves, got rid of the accursed thing, they went and got the battle, they got the victory over Ai. Again, God says, sanctify yourself so I can come and do the thing I want to do. Sanctify yourself against tomorrow. The Lord's going to do a great work. Sanctify yourselves because I'm going to come in the midst of you. Again, the pattern is very common. So a man wrote, and he was a very poor man, and he decided to take a big chance. And he had a dumpy house and a dumpy property and dumpy land, and he wasn't happy about what he had, and it was very small, and he was very poor, and he was not content, and his neighbors were all poor and discontent. So he did the crazy thing. He wrote a letter to the king, and he sent it with a messenger and said, "Go see if you can take this to the guards, see if they'll take it to the king." Just totally bold attempt. And that's the last he thought of it. Well, one day, the messenger came by and said, "The king's coming tomorrow, and you need to get ready to get the king." And the man said, "Oh, come on, the king's not coming. If the king's coming, then you know what? He can see it this the way it is. I don't believe that. And that's crazy. The king doesn't know I'm here." Next day comes, and here comes a big line of horses and carriages and a big bunch of soldiers and this massive and wagons behind them. They come up in front down the road and come up to his little shanty there, on his little piece of property there. And it stops because the road's blocked, because his little road that goes to his house, there's a wagon broke down in the road there, and the man didn't have that was his last wagon. It didn't move out of the way. And out of one of the wagons steps some very nicely dressed servants, all in their beautiful clothing and all clean and beautifully arrayed. And he steps the door and opens the door, and out steps the king of the land. Boy, the soldiers are all around, and there's all these nicely dressed in nice, beautiful clothes all around. But they can't get down the road to walk to his house. And the king starts walking through the field and sloshing mud, and the servants are splashing on their clothes. His royal robe is dragging through the manure and the mud as he's walking up this guy's house. Well, this guy was a very uncouth guy. In his house, his chickens lived with him. And chickens do things. And they drop things. And all over his house was messes, except for he'd shoo away the animals from his one favorite bench that he sat on. His house stunk. His dog lived in his house. It wasn't clean. Dishes were piled up, junk everywhere. The yard was a mess. Everything was a mess. And the king came in and said, "I'm the king. We've got your letter and heard that you wanted some great things here." And the guy says, "Yeah. Yeah, we'd like some great things. Can you give us some wealth and some riches?" And he says, "Well, I'd like to talk about it." "Oh, have a seat right there." The king looks. Chicken manure all over the seat. Some food that is spilled, sitting there. Looks like there was a rat in the corner. He says, "You have anywhere else to sit?" He says, "You know what? It's fine. You can sit on it. It's comfortable enough." King said, "You know what? I was going to give you great treasure. I was going to give you great wealth. I was going to make you a duke in this area, and I was going to give you wealth, and you were going to help all of your neighbors. I was going to give you money to build up on the hill there a big a castle, and you're going to be able to go and help these people grow crops around here and take this area and give great wealth to all these people and everything else. But you know what? You don't even care enough to have a clean place for me so I can come and be in your house. If you took good care of your place and at least clean it for the king coming, I might think this is important to you, but this is not important to you. And you know what? My position deserves more respect than this, and I don't want to see what your castle would look like. You can stay without the blessing of the king, and you can stay in your poverty because it's not that important to you." And out the king walked through the muddy field, got back in his carriage, and the other carriages of the treasure went away behind him, and off they went back toward the castle. I think the God of the universe many times says, "Sanctify yourselves so I can do a great work." And he stirs in your heart a broken heart for something, and a burden for something, and a need and love for people and a need for people. And he says, "Sanctify yourself because I want to do a great work." But then he doesn't give the Ten Commandments. Then he doesn't come and deliver the way across Jordan. He doesn't come, as he did so many times, when the people got ready, because God said, "I'm coming. Sanctify yourself." God just needs a few who will say, "I'm serious about this. Sanctification matters to God. Be holy, for I am holy. Sanctify yourself, because I want to do a great work." And think about how big a deal things are. And how God says, I want to do a great work, so sanctify yourself so I can do a great work, because I really want to draw near and pour out the blessing on a sanctified vessel. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Lord, I just think as we looked at this truth, Lord, I just pray that we would get it. Lord, that many times you said, sanctify yourself because I'm going to do a great work tomorrow. I'm going to come down on Mount Sinai tomorrow, so sanctify yourself. So you're going in the presence of a holy God. And Lord, I pray that we would understand that's your nature and how you work. And Lord, we love sanctification when we get it. It's a great thing, but it doesn't happen by accident and by justifying things and by minimalizing wrong, Father. And I pray that we would understand that Ezra was so brokenhearted because he understood his nation not sanctified itself. And he wanted to see the great work and the hand of God upon the nation, but he realized it wasn't sanctified at all. And so he's brokenhearted because he knew that they needed to be sanctified for you to come. Help us understand that's the principle. Help us to believe it and live it and love it and get it, Father. We just ask for your help in this in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.